Thank you, Simon, and the team. Really enjoyed our worship this morning. And we're going to carry on. We're looking at our series on presenting our bodies to God. It's a feature that we said that we'd be looking at this year. We'd be taking our time and we'd be looking at the autonomy of our bodies in the sense of our hands and our feet, our eyes, our mind, our heart, and everything that contains in our body to give it to worship to God. And we took it, of course, from Romans chapter 12 to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We started last time looking at the mouth and one particular element in that mouth, of course, which is the tongues. And as you can see on the PowerPoint, we've called it the poison dwarf. It's small, but it is very powerful. And if you remember last time, we read a verse from James chapter 3. But to remind ourselves, and Janet is now coming to read the scriptures, James chapter 3, 1 to 7. Thank you, Janet. Let's remind ourselves of the verse that Janet has just read. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You see, James talks about the power of influence that the tongue is capable of. And we remember that influence can be a positive or it can be a negative. And three things we do know about the tongue, which we'd all have to confess, is one, it's something we all own. Two, it's very little. And three, it's very powerful. And we take that as a given. So are we going to use our tongues for positiveness, or are we going to use our tongues for negativeness? Remember the last time we watched the video? Well, we're going to watch the video again, and then of course we're going to have some questions on that video. So let's watch the video and take some notes. Okay, let's have some answers. What was one thing that came out of that video as a negative? Yes, Dave, it was. The word was criticism. They wanted to pray, but they couldn't just say, let's pray for the Hendersons. It had to be pray for the Hendersons and then go on to talk about the Hendersons. And, you know, we're not saying that criticism is always bad or indeed always negative. But if we're honest, every one of us is guilty of doing this at some time. We seem to make it a full-time occupation for some. And the word criticism, you know, is related to the Greek word judge. So it's actual fact. What we're actually saying is we're judging people. And I think we would all say we're capable of that. And if I was to ask you, someone who appears on television regular, who is supposed to be a critic, and he's built, of course, a huge entertainment business on it. Of course, his name is Simon Cowell. And he's often been someone who really does punches, as they say, and sometimes you cringe as you hear the way he delivers his style of criticism. And we should recognise that, as I say, criticism may be warranted, but it's how we deliver that criticism, because not all criticism is negative. And we know that sometimes, you know, when I was learning the trade, as they say in the ministry trade, my ministry and training, we would often be told to one side, well, that should be better and that should be done this way. Have you thought about this? It's all good, common sense at times. But what we have to realise is how we deliver that criticism. How are we delivering criticism? Or, as let's call it now, how are we judging? How are we judging people? You see, David, his wife, couldn't wait to get David back in the house and severely criticise him for his performance of dancing before the ark. In fact, Michael's criticism of her husband, as she danced in the streets of Jerusalem, was largely unjustified. She'd made an opinion and a judgment, and she was questioning David's motives. In fact, she was suggesting that he was not playing to God, but playing to the audience, and particularly to girls, rather than honouring the Lord. And it was a severe, severe criticism. David, of course, refused to accept that criticism and insisted that if his worship meant humiliating himself before people, then that's what he would do, because he was saying, I'm not doing it to make a performance. I'm not doing it to be a show-off. I did it out of genuine love for God. But then Jeff Lucas makes a great point. Was David's reaction also considered as a negative. Remember, his wife Michal, that God had blessed him, but had rejected her father, Saul. Did David respond with spite with spite? Which, if he did, is rather unhelpful, isn't it? But often we can. We can receive criticism and immediately respond tit for tat. We immediately lash out. Perhaps David went too far with his words. Perhaps his words wounded Michal, who had lost her father in battle. We don't know, because we don't know David's body language and we don't know exactly how things were said. But Jeff Lucas makes this point. Did David really have to say it? Remember, we don't have to take negative criticism. But I believe we should take positive criticism, depending upon the delivery, the body style. And we all know when someone is trying to help you, when someone is trying to make your life better, and sometimes they have to be critical. We remember, of course, Jesus, don't we? Peter had had a great time saying that Jesus was Christ, the Son of the living God. He'd used his tongue there, really positive. And within a few moments, he was, with the same tongue, telling Jesus, "You can't go to the cross. We have a different agenda." And of course, Jesus had to say, "Get behind me. Get behind me. That isn't exactly the plan, Peter. Get behind me." And with the same tongue, Peter was really positive on proclaiming who Christ was. At the same time, really negative, telling God's Son, "This is not the plan that Jesus had just quoted as saying." But our Lord was very gracious, very kind, very compassionate, and never responded, I believe, with a tit-for-tat situation. In fact, it is trial and crucifixion. He never responded, did he? He never critically responded. In fact, the only things I can think he said was to Pilate, "You have no power over me," when Pilate actually thought he had. We need to sometimes, as the old saying says, bite our tongue, that Christ may be glorified. I want to finish with this other quote from Jeff Lucas. When criticised, stay cool. There might be helpful truth in the criticism, even if the tone is hurtful. And if we're stung, let's be careful not to sting back. It's not easy, but it might prevent greater conflict. And sometimes our arguments start, don't they, and suddenly they swell into a tumult of abuse. God did have something to say on this subject, and in Matthew chapter 7 we're told not to do something. And we've already mentioned what the word criticism stands for. So what are we told not to do? Judge. That's right. We are told not to judge in Matthew 7. Judge not. And that was a problem in the video. They were judging the Hendersons. They were judging the people that they were actually praying for. One of the great men of God had to suffer under this criticism in a church that he'd founded. Of course, the church was Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the first 5 verses, we feel Paul's judgment. We feel how Paul must have felt about his judgment. So much so that Paul just said, listen, there's only one person fit to really condemn me. And he is the judge of all. He is the judge of all. And one day, we will all stand before him. Thank God, not according to whether we've accepted Jesus. We won't be there if we haven't accepted him. But we will be judged according to what we have done. How have we glorified Christ? How have we used our mouths? Our first part of the autonomy of worship. How have we responded with our mouths? What is this little poison dwarf? We know what it's capable of. We need to be very careful. Because the second thing we want to consider this morning is not just our criticism, our judgment, but our gossip. We need to step back a little bit before we say, "Just want to tell you this." You see, gossip is high on quite a lot of our lists. But the hurt and damage this does, forgive this pun, but it is more than tongue can tell. And Proverbs 18 and 8 has a verse which we should store in our hearts. And it is a verse, particularly from the Message. Why eat junk candy? Why eat junk candy and put that into your belly. Connotation is, why feed yourself? Why feed yourself with stuff that's not good for you? In which case, we've looked at judgment, we've looked at gossip, and we all know the damage that gossip can do. So what do we do with our tongue? If those are the negatives we've drawn from the video, what are the positives we draw from the video? Well, let's have a reflection. By the way, you've all got some notes to take home with you this morning, and they're the notes that we had the last time, but just in case you've lost them, we've given you them again this morning, so you can go home and reflect on what we've been talking about this morning. There's lots of scriptures there for you to read, and we pray that this week, as you look at it, we will all be able to use our mouths much better for the glory of God. So what do we reflect on? Well, quite simply, three things. Let's ask ourselves, first of all, is it essential? We need to make sure that if we are going to use our tongues, it's actually essential what we have to say. And second of all, is it factual? Oh, I heard John say this, or I heard someone say that. Not really great, is it, when you're going to go to someone, and maybe criticism, maybe that positive criticism we talked about this morning, and then we suddenly realise, well, the facts that we actually received were not really true. They were distorted. They were twisted. Ask yourself, if I'm going to say something to someone, is it factual? Third of all, is it considerate? Talking to this person at this particular time, are we going to use the Matthew principle when we talk to people, if we believe that there is an issue to solve? When we're at Costa Coffee and having coffee with our friends, are we going to be careful and considerate when we're all talking to each other? Will it be necessary to bring someone else into our conversation who is not actually down meeting there? Is it really, really considerate that we should be talking to someone, especially if they're not at that meeting? So are we going to ask those questions? Are we going to say, is it essential? Do I really need to go and talk? And if I do think, yes, it is it factual? And then finally, is it considerate? Should I be talking to this person in the mannerism and the bodyism which I am using? You see, the positives was for this video, they really did want to pray for the church. And they did want to pray for their family in the church, and that's super. And they actually invited somebody else to come in and pray. And we know what there is in the partnership of prayer. We know that Daniel called his friends in as soon as he knew there was an issue and a problem. It's good to have friends praying for us. It's good to meet for prayer. But let's be very, very careful. And by the way, thank you very much for those people who attended the prayer meeting on Friday. Our very first prayer meeting, and lots of good stuff has been written in the journal. And it was really an amazing time. The main hall was done with prayer requests for those who weren't here. We had communion for those who wanted communion. And in our classroom, we had some candles and we had a lovely reflection time where you could go and sit and have a coffee, read the scriptures and or just ponder. Everyone was really great, the way we considered each other. There was no talking in that little classroom. It was just a lovely reflection, and some of the quotes that have been put in the journal, really very encouraging and very inspiring. And hopefully before the next one, we will get one or two people up who attended that meeting, let them share their thoughts on that. So it's good to pray, it's good to criticize at times, but let everything be positive. Remember what we've said this year. We want no one to be coming out of our meeting this year without taking a positive, whatever that may be. Perhaps today might just be tea and coffee and a piece of cake which you are going to receive. But let's not leave our meeting this morning full of negativity. Let's be positive people. That doesn't mean to say let's wipe things under the carpet. We're not going to wipe anything under the carpet. It doesn't mean to say we're not going to face issues. What it does mean to say is that in all the issues that we face and all the situations we're going to come across, we're going to take some positives as well as some negatives that need to be done. And here are some verses that will help us. This is what the scripture says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, in all teaching, admonishing one another, in psalms and in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, using your tongues to admonish and to sing. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to your King. Sing praises, for the God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Let's sing. Sing and speak and say things that glorify the name of God, that edify and build up his people. That we will extend his kingdom here as a family, that people will want to come to, because they can come with all their issues, knowing that in love and in grace, we will speak. We will speak positively. We will speak truthfully. But we will speak knowing that it had to be said. It was essential. It was factual. It was considerate. Finally, let's be positive, as I said. Let's use our tongue for encouragement. Colossians 4:8. Let's edify one another up. Romans 14:19. Let our positiveness affect everything that goes on here. James 5:16. Let's be positive in praising our God in James 3:9. I'm sure we can think of many more, but let's end with this thought. If our hearts are full of evil thoughts, that's what we will show. But if our hearts are full of the love and grace which Jesus had, then we will produce the fruit that Christ produced. Let's be positive. Let's make it essential. Let's make it factual. Let's be considerate. Let's build one another up. Let's tame this tongue. Let our first part of the autonomy of our body, that which praises God, may it edify and glorify his name for his kingdom's sake. Amen.